William Wells lives and works at what may be the nation's most remote weather station. It's 300 miles off the west coast of Alaska in the Bering Sea. Even on St. Paul Island, his station is remote. It's off by itself, a few miles away from the village of 400 people who call St. Paul home. Each afternoon, he walks from his office to a two-story tall garage. Inside, he fills up a six-foot-wide balloon with hydrogen gas.
You wouldn't be able to use your equipment while I would be inflating. We would have to do this interview outside in the wind because of the risk of static electricity that would create a potential explosion hazard. But we're under no threat right now because it's contained safely within that latex.
Helium is safer, but it's too pricey to ship way out to the middle of the Bering Sea, so they generate their own hydrogen right here. Once the big latex balloon is inflated, Wells takes a string and he ties a small gadget known as a radio sonde to the balloon.
It tracks the temperature, relative humidity, and wind speed and wind direction as it goes up through the atmosphere, and it's supposed to give us a relative atmospheric profile.
Wells opens up the double-tall garage door. Then he grabs the balloon string in one hand and checks his watch with the other. When the clock strikes three, he sprints out the gate and makes a mad dash across the tundra toward a gravel road. As the balloon clears the high garage door, a 30-knot wind whips it to the east. The force of the Bering Sea wind pummels the balloon into a shape basically like a 3D comma. Once he reaches the road, he releases the balloon and it shoots away. The gadget dangling beneath it knocks his Carolina Panthers wool cap off his head as it rockets past. The balloon takes off more like an airplane than a balloon in this wind. Wells returns to the garage and closes it up.
Now, I'm going to apologize to you, but I'm going to take off almost in a full-bore sprint.
He does a 100-yard sprint back to his office to make sure the radio sonde is transmitting data. It is. No need for a second launch today. It's a daily routine for Wells. For the balloon, it's a one-time affair. As it rises 20 miles into the sky, it swells up about 7 times its original size. Then it bursts and returns to Earth as debris, most likely somewhere in the Bering Sea. But not before it has sent back valuable data.
We are such a remote location. Our data is pretty precious.
That data gets used within the hour in the 4 p.m. forecast that mariners and others rely on.
Pribilof Island's nearshore waters. Storm warning Thursday. Tonight, south wind 25 knots becoming southeast 35 knots after midnight. Sea 7 feet building to 11 feet after
Wells
midnight.
Says he's always loved the weather, especially the meat and potatoes of gathering raw information to make a forecast.
It just takes a lot of skill and hardiness to do it, and I'm proud to do it.
He might not get to do it forever. The National Weather Service is testing an automatic balloon launching device at its station in Kodiak in November. Someday, the human launchers could be replaced by machines at the 13 weather stations in Alaska and those across the country. For now, Wells is a continent away and then some from his native North Carolina, but he says he doesn't mind.
I feel privileged to be doing this because, you know, I'd always wanted to work for the Weather Service, and now I am working for the Weather Service, and I couldn't be happier.
He says his quiet life on the outskirts of St. Paul, on the outskirts of America, is a little rustic, but it's been good for him.
I lost 25 pounds after I moved up here because I didn't have the temptations of fast food restaurants.
It's a different career path than his classmates who get dressed up and sweep their arms in front of maps on the TV news. Jobs like his make their forecasts possible.
They can have the TV and the radio. I'll stick with this.
Reporting from St. Paul, I'm John Ryan.